He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday, April 2nd, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We'll call it the sky is falling Tuesday. Oh, it's not exactly the sky falling, but we're kind of used to the market going up most days here over the last several months. Not today. The Dow is down 430 points. Of course, 430 points is not what it was 5 years ago. That works out to a 1.1% drop only with the Dow at 39,000 these days. The NASDAQ is down about 230 points right now, being hurt by a couple of the high PE stocks, and it's rising rates that are doing that. The NASDAQ is down 226. That's 1.4%. It's at 16,169. Small caps down 1.7%. Crude oil is an issue. It's up 90 cents to 84.61. That's inflationary. Gold is an issue, hitting a new all-time high today, up $27 per ounce to 22.84. But the biggest issue of all is the 10-year, 4.39, and it's up about 20 basis points here in the last 2 days. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm where we are very vigilant on a daily basis, and obviously sitting on a lot of pretty large long-term capital gains right now. Have to be particularly vigilant because nothing grows to the sky. Valuations do matter. We are seeing a little bit of profit taking right now in the markets as we begin the second quarter of 2024. Barry, we've got interest rates all of a sudden. I think Chairman Powell yesterday said we can be patient with the rate cuts. The economy is still strong, and I think that might be what hit the interest rates, which that's the first domino. Powell's the first domino. The second domino is the 10-year, which went up, I think, 16 basis points yesterday, and then up again today.
And yeah, then it's two mouths, right, spoken in terms of one being Powell, after the rate decision, where he was very, he was just more dovish, put it that way. He wasn't. He wasn't hawkish, put it that way. And then, of course, I think it was actually an interview from Friday that after the PCE number came out, and then he was, less dovish, a tad bit more hawkish. So he's threading the needle, if you will, right? And of course, markets are going to seem to hang on every word.
Yes, and it shifts to risk off pretty quickly, especially when you've got all these big gains in the market, and especially when you've got the forward PE of the market at 21.57 as of Monday. That makes it very vulnerable to any kind of interest rate jolt. The numbers that stood out to me. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, and there's a lot of there's a lot of different Fed speakers this week, and just remember, I think it's interesting in terms of Powell when he speaks with kind of two voices. One, he's speaking kind of for the committee, right, as the chairman, and then other times he'll be kind of speaking kind of what he thinks, right, which may not be exactly what the committee decision would be. So it's you got to kind of remember when he's talking to think of it as is he talking right. From the committee perspective, or just what he actually thinks himself, right,
as an individual. The numbers that stand out to me right now, number one, the two-year goes up to 4.72 yesterday. I mean, that's a pretty good return if you just want to buy a two-year treasury and say, forget it, I think the market's done for now. I'd be happy with 4.72 over the next 2 years. But then, obviously, you've got to discount that by the inflation rate. Okay, and then the other number that stood out to me this morning was oil. All of a sudden, up to $84.90, closing in on $85. That's going to show up at the gas pump. That always impacts ratings of presidents. It affects election polls, etc. And it seems to be that Europe. There's strong demand in Europe right now for oil, and it looks like maybe China's coming back online again with their economy. So that's putting upwards pressure on oil. In addition to that, you had a major escalation yesterday with Israel taking out a building that was part of the embassy there in Damascus, took out a top general of the Iranian forces. And then, of course, this morning you had the accidental killing of seven aid workers in Gaza by the Israeli. Well, that's what they're claiming right now until the investigations are done. So that's a major escalation there in the Middle East, which I talked about in the newsletter over the weekend. And then you've got gold hitting $2,261 per ounce. So those are the numbers that are standing out to me. And, of course, when you get a risk-off day, you're going to get the biggest risk-off in the highest-risk type of securities. I think the highest-risk one right now, the most vulnerable, is Bitcoin. Bitcoin's down 6.2% today. That's down $4,333. It's sitting at $65,483 right now. Its all-time high is about just over 73,000. So it's down about 8,000 from its high. If we did the math, that's roughly 11% or so off of its all-time high. And, of course, you're going to see a sell-off in the AI, NVIDIA, Arista Networks, AMD, those types of stocks, because they have some of the highest P.E. ratios right now. Now, yesterday, we had the market. The Dow was actually up yesterday, and the AI stocks were one of the bright spots in the market yesterday, and then they're giving up those gains today. I'm also seeing the number one sector in the market right now. It's just a matter of whether or not the move is sustainable in the energy, oil, and gas stocks, which, they're very hard to predict. Oil prices are very hard to predict. But right now, that is definitely the brightest spot, the brightest sector in the market, whether it's Chevron, Exxon, the big ones, or down the line into EOG and Devon Resources, etc. And then you even get into the equipment companies like Halliburton and Schlumberger, and they're also having some pretty good moves here recently.
And that's where the interesting piece is, talking about risk versus reward, right? That's a place right now, right, where we've got certainly some price risk to the upside in terms of oil prices and uncertainty. And so, you see that play through right to those names that you mentioned.
Exactly. Well, inflation continues to drop. We definitely have inflation cooling off around the world. But who knows? I mean, this oil is a big part of inflation. Germany's inflation rate, which was pretty hot there for a while, dropped to 2.2. I mean, that's almost, that's just above the target price by most central banks around the world. That's the lowest since May of 2021. And there's also a surge in the UK in their manufacturing activity. It hits a 20-month high And I was wondering what was driving the price of oil higher. Well, I read this morning that the demand in Europe is also stronger than expected, and demand in China. And then you've got the, you know, the Middle East escalation taking place, and that's all kind of hitting oil prices. Germany, on the other hand, their manufacturing activity falls to the lowest in 5 months. You know, they've had a tough time between their liquid natural gas supply being cut off, being on the edge of that Ukraine war. Their inflation's been hot, and their manufacturing activity continues to struggle, while the UK seems to be doing a whole lot better. Okay, when we come back, commodities are on the move right now. We'll look at a few of the top best-looking commodity-related stocks. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we have a risk-off day going on in the market today. You've had a big jump in interest rates yesterday and today. That affects the bond market in an adverse way. It affects the higher PE stocks the most. But it affects the entire market. You've got the S&P down 1% right now. The Dow is down 1.07%. And the NASDAQ, which by nature has higher PE stocks in it, is down 1.47%. Small caps, which are even more of a risk-on asset, are down 1.58%. So they're doing the worst of all. Crude oil is up $1.11 right now to $84.82, closing in on $85. And that's a combination of higher demand than expected out of Europe and China coming back online, it looks like, and definitely an escalation in the war in the Middle East. Now, copper is always looked at as a bellwether, a gauge, especially for China and their economy.
The old Dr. Copper.
Yes. Traders say investors are gaining optimism about China's economy after the official Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index in March registered the highest reading in a year. The following debt to strong exports and rising consumer prices. So we look at copper, we look at a COPX, which is an ETF that invests in copper-related stocks. It's hitting a new 52-week high today. And then you look at individual stocks, probably the number one copper stock, Freeport-McMoRan, FCX. It's hitting a new 52-week high today, and then SCCO, which is Southern Copper, it's hitting a new 52-week high today. In fact, that could be an all-time high for that stock there.
Commodities just, I mean, you've pointed it out, commodities just continue to rise.
Yes, and it's a couple of things, you know. A lot of times when war drums are beating, which they are, okay, that's one factor, and the other factor is obviously China's economy. I would say right now it's the economy of China that's impacting these commodities more than anything. The oil, you know, $85 a barrel, that really helps Putin over there in Russia. And, you know, a lot of times when you see rising oil and rising copper prices or gold prices, Putin could be on the move again, so we have to keep an eye on that. They did move a battleship into the Red Sea over the weekend for the first time. I don't know that they've ever moved one there before, but they have one there now. Now, as we look at oil stocks and commodity-related stocks, you know, I keep my little journal every day of good-looking charts. And definitely, as I looked at the stocks, about 800 charts yesterday, Freeport-McMoRan, obviously a very strong chart. DBA, which is agriculture, that's fertilizer, it's cocoa. We talked about chocolate prices. DBA was breaking out yesterday. STLD, which is a steel stock. And then in the oil patch, it's pretty much the usual suspects, okay? It's Apache, APA, it's Chesapeake, Devon Energy, EOG.
There's been a lot of consolidation in that space over the years, so there's not as many players in that kind of, you know, in that particular piece of the market.
No, and I was looking at Goldman Sachs has their top five oil picks, and yeah, I mean, they're all ones that are breaking out right now. They pick Canadian Natural Resources, CNQ. That's on my list. ConocoPhillips, COP. Devon Energy, DVN. Magnolia Oil and Gas, MGY. And then a few others like Marathon. So those are kind of the nucleus of the oil and gas stocks. What a change. I mean, the first quarter of this year, nobody wanted an oil stock. Nobody wanted a commodity stock. It was all about the commodity AI, flash memory, and all that goes along with that. And now we've pretty much made a pretty strong shift towards commodity-related stocks.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of these bets were kind of made, you know, when you know, the reopening of China started, and then, you know, folks got tired of those bets because nothing happened with them, at least not positive.
Nope.
And then, you know, and now you're getting a resurgence in that trade. It's just pretty interesting.
It's all a sector rotation takes place in the market. Well, Trump Media was down 20% yesterday. It's down 35% from its high. But it is having a pretty good day here today. DJT, it is up 4% today. It's at $51 per share, but it got as high as, let's see, I think $80 per share. Let me get that up there. The high on it was, yeah, $80 per share. So it's at, now it's at 50. What is that? A little haircut there for Trump Media. And I know that he did post the lowered bond amount in New York. I think it was $170 million, something like that. Okay, here's another thing we're seeing right now in kind of a risk-off move. Now, listen, the first shoe to drop was probably a month ago. And we said, you know, this is the first day that NVIDIA actually had this big up day, and by the end of the day, it was down. That was a reversal day. That was several Fridays ago. That was the first shot fired across the bow that the AI stocks, which have been leading the market, were finally starting to see some profit taking. Because before then, it was a game of chicken. Who's going to be the last one? You know, before they go over a little bit of a waterfall here, and they are starting to loosen up. AMD is kind of sitting on a precipice right now of support that if it doesn't hold, that could mean further downside for AMD. NVIDIA is not there yet, but it definitely has flattened out on the top, as I've been saying, for the last several weeks. It's going sideways at the top. It's either going to break out from here to new all-time highs, which it would take. It's at 880. It would have to go up 100 points from here to do that. Or it's going to crack its support level at about 850 and see a pretty healthy correction in NVIDIA. An NVIDIA director sold stock worth $10 million. That's not a bad little payday there on NVIDIA stock. Insider selling. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. With all of this news about commodities and economies around the world, and China in particular, well, here's a big story coming out of China. Tesla is definitely being impacted by China. Apple is too. These are a couple of the weakest charts in the market. You know, when I send out a message to my subscribers and people, clients that want those in the late afternoon about my observations, I'm usually done going through my charts about then. I also list any charts that, you know, big names that look especially weak. And Apple and Tesla have been on my weak chart list for a long time. Of course, we sold those stocks quite a while ago because they started to weaken, I'm going to say 3-4 months ago, maybe even longer than that. More bad news from Tesla today. That stock is down 5.6%.
And wow. Yeah, that was not a great report.
Terrible. How are they being impacted by China? Well, BYD announced their Q1 vehicle sales. They sold 625,000, roughly, pure electric vehicles. Tesla, by comparison, has fallen way behind. Their first quarter, they delivered 433,000. So look at the lead. Look at the market share that BYD has taken. 624,000 for BYD, 433,000 for Tesla, and that was way below the expectations.
Well, in the estimates, what's interesting is the estimates had already been, you know, kind of ratcheted down over time.
Yeah.
As you've seen the stock price go down as well. They were still significantly under consensus. I mean, the
way below
production. The consensus on production was 439 of the Model 3 and Y, and it came in at 412,000. They delivered, delivered more. They delivered more vehicles in Q4, I believe. So. It's an interesting dynamic just in the whole electric vehicle sector to begin with. Number one, they're getting it, you know, taking on competition from China, but then they're also, you know, seeing dampening demand right elsewhere.
Absolutely. The gilded lily is no longer gilded. Their deliveries dropped by 100,000. They delivered 484,000 in Q4. And about 100,000 less than that in this recent quarter. The only excuse they can make, really, from Tesla is the Red Sea conflict, which has closed partially the Gigafactory in Berlin. But I just think there's been a whole total reboot of the entire EV madness. And you're seeing a lot of people questioning whether or not they want an electric vehicle. And it's across the board. I mean, when you see Fisker basically bankrupt, Rivian hanging in there, their deliveries were higher than expected.
They actually came in higher than expected. But the stock, right, I mean, you look at the, I mean, you would expect a pop in the stock. You know, really, when I saw it this morning when the news came out, I think Rivian was only up about 1%. I haven't looked at it since. But
Rivian, R-I-V-N, is right now down 5% because, yeah. I mean, they're caught up in the Tesla news, and Rivian's hitting a new, almost a new all-time low, $10.56. $10.05 was the low. If it cracks that $10.05, this is going to drive the short sellers into this stock.
Well, and we talk about it all the time. This business, it's, number one, it's a tough business, and it's it's really a volume game, right? And the fact is, Tesla was able, some of the first to be able to ramp up, right, actual production, and then improve margins, on those vehicles versus, a lot of these, especially your smaller Fiskars and even inside your big automakers, it took significant investment, right, to get it to volume, and it's still not to volume. And so it's an interesting dynamic because you need that volume in order to make it profitable for companies to even be in the business. So.
Yep, it's a tough sledding right now. And in the meantime, oil stocks, right? I mean, that go in the opposite direction of lithium and EV. SLB is buying Champion X. CHX has been on my watch list. It's had some good days with its chart. It is a drilling technology, artificial lift solutions, and automation technologies for the oil and gas industry. It's kind of a tech stock in the energy sector. That thing's breaking out up 8.5%, CHX. And in the meantime, SLB, it's down 2.3%, but it's been pretty perky here recently.
And even the energy's been interesting because even it's even getting an AI dynamic now, particularly on the power company side. I'm continuing to see, and we've talked about the amount of power that it uses, but I continue to see more and more stories, right, that are kind of relating finance to the power needed for AI. And you take like an EOG Resources, right, or some of your other kind of blended power companies,
yep,
which have done very well also in the energy sector. So it's interesting how that at least narrative has shifted even kind of further out for AI.
Well, two of our biggest winners this year have been power companies that are power kind of brokers to the power industry, because of the demand that there is, and we're not really keeping up with that demand by building new power plants. The other weak chart, and it continues to be weak, is Apple. If Apple breaks this 165 area, then the short sellers could pile on there. I'm sure they're already in there pretty heavily, but it's hitting a six-month low. Now you got Loop Capital lowering their price target. And one of Apple's problems is China has ramped up their iPhone production with the Huawei phones. And not only did Apple not have that big of a hit, I got a hunch that their next phone, they're making moves in that direction, will be the first the first AI-enabled phone. They're signing a deal with Baidu, it looks like, in China, because China's not going to allow Google's AI in there. That may help a little bit. And then, of course,
partnering with AI, it was partnering with the rumor of partnering with Google here, right? So I guess you can have who knows, you can have a similar phone with different AI backgrounds, right, depending on the market you're in, which is pretty interesting. Does that mean other countries will have their own company, right? It'll be unique to see how that technology shakes into other countries, right, and however people decide to start dealing with AI in general.
But they need something. They need a gimmick in the next phone, to get people. There's got to be something there that says, oh boy, it's time to trade in my current one for a new one. Okay, this is a little stock. We'll end this segment with this one. They're doing a lot of work in the subways and whatnot to try to decrease the crime in the subways. There's a little stock called Evolve Technologies that has a screening system that offers weapon detection. In other words, if there's somebody within the area that's carrying a weapon that could be a danger. This stock had a big pop the last couple of days because New York is buying a bunch of their scanner machines. I guess it's like a camera that they set up, and it will tell whether or not there's somebody in the area with a weapon. So it's EVLV. It's a small company, not even $1 billion, $750 million out of Massachusetts, near in the Boston area. It's a $5 stock right now, Evolve Technologies. And then, last but not least, there's a Chinese EV maker that's going to go public. Boy, I can't wait to invest in that. But it's Xiaomi. It's up 16% as the new EV draws strong interest, but buyers may face months-long wait for the car to come off the the assembly line. I think I'm just going to avoid that EV space for now. While Canoe plunges after raising going concern doubts. Okay, well, we'll look underneath the market. Today we're looking for where the damage is coming from as opposed to where the gains, because there's not many gains out there today. We'll be right back.
You got to go.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, it's easy to spot. It didn't take long to look underneath the surface of the market to see where most of the damage is coming from. Managed care stocks drop after Medicare rate decision. Managed care companies are among the most notable decliners, and we'll go through some of those after the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid set a lower-than-expected reimbursement rate for privately run health care plans for 2025. You know, it's really disturbing, the drop in these private health care plans, which, you know, you just wonder if we're not moving towards a national one-player-only healthcare plan here, because these guys are just getting pounded. Look at United Healthcare today, down 6.8%. It's coming off of that massive data breach. This stock was 554 not that long ago. Now it's 456. It's down 25%.
And a name that's supposed to be a quote-unquote defensive name, right, during, so in terms of a market rotation, right, that's something you would naturally rotate to. And, yeah, it's been and that whole space has really been kind of, affected by really just low margins, right?
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I mean, they're not the medical costs are rising, and that's really crimping them big time. But even worse than that, Humana, oh my gosh, Humana has gone from 530 down to 300. Now you're talking about a 40% drop. And I remember when they reported their earnings in late January, they blamed rising out-of-control medical cost. These companies, I think they're in trouble, especially when you're just – these are the two biggest ones out there. Then you look at CVS, which owns Aetna. It's down 8.6% today. It's getting whomped.
If you can't make money, like, as an insurance company, right, when, rates are relatively high, I mean, historically, right, they're, look at the last 15 years, right, from a rate environment standpoint, insurance companies should be doing, right, better in this type of environment. And I've even seen, auto insurance where, a very small talk about EVs and just smarter cars in general, right? You got all these sensors everywhere, and you know, you can have like the scratch of a front, you know, fender paint, right, that ends up being, you know, close to a $5,000 job.
Yeah, and a lot of these new drugs, you know, that are coming on, they're
great drugs, but they're expensive.
Yeah. So we're kind of coming to a crossroads here, it would seem, in the healthcare industry. Now, on the other
which makes hand, for, by the way, which makes for a, you know, a better argument, right, for, you know, stuff that, you know, Lilly or Novo Nordisk is saving or selling, so you can, you know, improve, right, the healthcare system, you know, as a whole potentially.
That would be another factor, as people are not as healthy as they used to be, regardless of the rates they're paying. If you got more people with more illnesses and not taking good care of themselves, that's another issue that we have. And obesity is definitely a big issue in America. ExxonMobil is up, okay, 1.6%. It's really, this has been the pattern here for the last couple of weeks. ExxonMobil is breaking out. It's up 1.5%. And the other one that's disturbing to me that's breaking out to new 52-week highs, which is I've been pointing recently to, you know, a lot of war-related stocks have been breaking out. Raytheon would be the perfect example, which is now RTX. But, man, that they play a major, major role in shooting down. You hear about all these missiles being lobbed into Israel from Lebanon, and before that, obviously, from Gaza. And they're not done yet in Gaza. They're still lobbing missiles, but 99% of them never hit anything because they're shot down before they can cause any damage by the Raytheon Patriot missile defense systems. Those missiles aren't cheap, you know, every time they fire one, and they have to continually, you know, they have to beef up their inventory. And so Raytheon, RTX, is really breaking out here, which, and I'll tell you the other one, General Dynamics, broke out big time yesterday. So you can't say that these are because of China's economy coming back. And part of that move in gold and part of that move in oil and gas is expectations of increase escalation of war. That is a fact of life here in the world that we live in today.
Well, you got to replenish the stock. I mean, you know,
constantly.
So you know, if you've got some certain amount that you need to have a quota or whatever it is, right? You fire some of those off, whether it's real life or training, then you've got to replace that backstock.
Yes, and before they go into Lebanon, which is almost inevitable, that is a much bigger field of battle than Gaza. And they're going to have the necessary weaponry to undertake that mission. Well, we'll end that on that happy note. Look, I'm an observer of the world. I read news from all over the world. I look at charts.
Well, you had that drone company that was, you know, no different.
Yeah, exactly. Drones have become a major player in war. I don't know what it was. I think it was and Lockheed Martin has been breaking out here recently, too. I think it was maybe a fighter jet that took out that embassy in Damascus, Syria yesterday.
Yeah, they said they thought it was an F-35. But.
And that's Lockheed Martin. Okay, well, this is a time to be vigilant. I was interviewed by the Minnesota station yesterday, the mothership of the one that we're on every day. And I said, you know, we run a daycare center for people's retirement plans. They drop them off with us. They can go do what they do for a living. And I'm sitting here making money when the time is good, making hay while the sun shines. But you got to also be vigilant and be aware of what's going on in the world and watch these charts very closely. Give
Snotty
us a
noses
call.
And everything.
Exactly. 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter to stay on top of things as things begin to change here. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.